Welcome to the Sagebrush Variety Show, sagebrushvariety.org, political commentary and satire. On this week's show, we bring you part three of Ukiah Digby for Coroner, our current serial radio play, and the farm report on garden huckleberries, followed by Homeland Security Level Red, episode called Footballers. But first, Bucky Bacaw's Backyard Chicken broadcast with part one of answering questions from a prospective chickener in Brooklyn. I'm Gwen St. Curico. Enjoy the show.
This is Bucky Bacaw with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. I recently heard from Carolyn in Brooklyn, New York. Carolyn has definitely signed on to the Bucky Bacaw agenda of a world where chickens never live in unhealthy, inhumane, disease-spreading factories, but instead live in small flocks and yards and public spaces, not just in rural areas, but in suburbs and cities across the nation and the world. She knows that chickens in her yard will provide fertilizer, soil improvement, and pesticide control that will help her grow her own vegetables, which will be tastier and more nutritious than what she can get from corporate sources. She also knows that she'll have eggs that are much, much more nutritious and delicious than grocery store eggs, and will be not just a name, but an actual fact, cruelty-free. And of course, she's heard about and even witnessed what wonderful personalities chickens have when they're raised in healthy and respectful conditions. But like most of us, with most ideals, she's been wondering how to fit the way she thinks things ought to be into the reality of her actual life. So she asked me a series of questions that I know will enlighten us all. First of all, because Carolyn lives in Brooklyn, with a small yard and with not a lot of space between her and her neighbors, she asks, where do the smallest and quietest birds? Should she try to hatch a fertilized egg in an incubator, or buy chicks to get a teenage chicken? For many chicken breeds, there is a standard size variety and a smaller subbreed, referred to as a bantam. For instance, two breeds known for the gentle, tame, and generally quiet personalities are Brahmas, a long-feathered and notably calm breed originating from India, and Silkies, an outrageously fluffy-looking breed known for its particularly sociable and affectionate nature. Both are bred in small and not-so-small sizes. There are also breeds known as true bantams that are only bred small and thus tend to be smaller than the counterpart bantams, such as the remarkably pretty and notably small United States-bred Sebright and the royal-looking Malaysian Serama that average around 20 ounces and can roost comfortably atop a tin can. To browse through most of the many breeds still alive, yes, a few have gone extinct, you might want to visit a website known as FeatherSite, which I link to from the Bucky Bacaw page on sagebrushvariety.org. I really enjoy looking over that site, but do keep in mind that your actual choice may be limited. For instance, you'll have to choose whether you're going to mail order fertilized eggs, which means it'll be very tough to predict how many chicks you'll wind up with and what sex they'll be, or whether you'll mail order recently hatched chicks, which strikes a lot of people as cruel, and I tend to agree. Or whether you'll try to find someone local who breeds through local classified listings. That's why I recommend not getting too hung up on breed when you're first starting out, as long as you be as sure as possible not to get a full size. As far as the noise issue goes, while some chickens have better reputations than others, the truth is that hens are generally quiet. In cities across the nation, many people go months or years without ever realizing they have hens as neighbors because the soft clucking and occasional victory cry some hens make after laying an egg are drowned out by urban and suburban noises such as dogs barking, local birds, automobile and plane traffic, lawnmowers and leaf blowers, radios, and etc. But that's hens. Some roosters, not all, can be pretty noisy, which is just one reason why most cities allow residents to keep hens, but many forbid roosters. That brings me back to the question of where to buy or adopt your first chickens. Unless you have a friend in the country who will adopt any of your chicks that grow up to be noisy roosters, you should probably look for chicken breeders who can tell you the sex of the chicken you're taking home. It won't be as hard as you think to find a breeder like that, but it's possibly the biggest challenge for the backyard birder who isn't willing to slaughter a young rooster for soup. Still, if you do have a backup plan for any unexpected roosters, you might want to try the fertilized egg or newly hatched route. The earlier you start personally raising chickens, the more socialized they'll be to you in your yard. With a properly lit and heated cage with food and water, you could safely leave the babies for the day while you're at work, and still get some socializing in when you're at home. And some roosters might turn out to be good for a yard in Brooklyn. A quiet rooster might not provide eggs for breakfast, but will still debug and fertilize your yard, provide extra protection for any hens you might also have, and generally be fun to have around. Which brings me to another question from Carolyn. Would one chicken be lonely? Yes, unless you're home a lot, one chicken would be lonely. Chickens are very sociable. The three chickens in the Bacaw flock bicker all day, but if they get separated, they can think of nothing else but, where's my companion? The oldest chicken we have lived by herself for a while after her original companion died, and she's always been a bit more needy than the other two as a result. I'm still looking at the list of questions from Carolyn, and there's some more I'd like to answer for all my listeners. But I got clucking away on those first few, and it looks like I'm going to have to finish up on my next show, when I'll answer Carolyn's questions about citified predators, smells and odors, bird flu paranoia, and how to meet up with chickeners in your area. This is Bucky Bacall. I had a good time. Bucky Bacall's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.
You're listening to the Sagebrush Variety Show, political commentary and satire. Next up, we have Ukiah Digby for Coroner.
Welcome. back to the campaign headquarters of Ukiah Digby. A lone teenager, stylishly dressed, rings the bell to the basement entrance.
Hello! Welcome to Digby Campaign Headquarters. I'm Ukiah Digby. Thanks for joining us for Campaign Sunday.
Hi, I'm Ashwarya, but you can call me Ash.
Like the Bollywood actress. That's so cool. Can I call you Ashwarya?
I guess so. But it's not like I'm named after Ashwarya Rai, you know. She didn't get famous until I was like 10 years old. Still, I guess I'm a little impressed that a white guy from Idaho knows who Ashwarya Rai is. The thing is, I don't want to be critical, but if you don't mind me saying so, your pronunciation is still not perfect. Above average, but I'd still have to give you an A-, so you can either work on perfection or just call me Ash, because I really don't mind.
Sorry, Ash.
It's okay. But I'm guessing there's only one person in the world with a name like Ukiah Digby, which means you were the original singer and electric cellist for Peabody, the best 80s punk band ever. So, can I call you Uke?
I guess so. But that was a long time ago, and it sure seemed like no one listened to us at the time. And most of the people who used to call me Uke are jerks now, so...
I always wondered why you quit the band to co-star in a soap opera as Nick Stormfield's homely buddy and hopelessly idealistic activist, Richie Debs. Wasn't that kind of a step down? I mean, I played your song Kill Your Lawn for my little brother, and it inspired him to go on strike for mowing the lawn in our stupid subdivision. And every day he brings home a new pamphlet on xeriscaping. My father is going through the roof.
When you put it that way, it does seem like Peabody did more to change the world than Richie Debs from Emergency Room. But the soap opera gig is how I paid back my share of the so-called advance from the record company. That was a bad contract. And if it wasn't for me, the Richie Debs character would have been portrayed as a total loser and turned young viewers away from activism.
I'm glad someone is running against the Ice Queen for coroner. And I like the issues on your website, so I'm here to help.
Great. Let me introduce you to the team and get you started. This is Martelene, Hans, Linda, Joey, Hubert, Hannah, and Kenneth. Everybody, this is Ash.
Hi.
Hello, Ashwarya. I remember you from when I was living with my second host family and attending Quail Run High.
You're on your third host family, Hans?
A fourth, actually. They keep trying to convert me to their religion. My battle with my host brother this morning was one of my more pleasant experiences. The exchange program coordinator can't seem to find me a nice atheist family, or at least someone non-denominational.
Holy crap.
So we still have a couple more hours to work on the campaign signs? You make things go faster, Ash. And when we are through, a team can go to the installation and the rest of us will go door to door, delivering Ukiah's campaign literature. I've designed a mini assembly line process to make these signs using a combination of stamping, silk screening, and hand painting. Ash, maybe you can stand on a big magnifying glass stamp and make sure we distribute the ink evenly.
Thanks, Hans. There weren't any classes in constructing road signs in my poli-sci program. I think most of my fellow graduates are now working on big corporate-sponsored campaigns that just buy the signs. I'm sending you with the installation crew in case the volunteers have any problems.
We cut now to the streets of a residential neighborhood. The Digby campaign team is knocking on doors and telling people about the Digby campaign, leaving pamphlets when no one answers. Ash and Ukiah are talking between houses.
So, Ash, I'm sorry about not getting your name quite right.
Oh, I was just teasing. You pronounce it fine, the Bollywood way. It's just that my family is Bengali and I pronounce it a little differently.
How do they say it?
I don't want to tell you because, with all due respect, I'm afraid it'll confuse you and mess up your current pronunciation.
Oh, okay.
I don't mean to be insulting. But the truth is, aside from my family, I'd really prefer people call me Ash.
Can I ask why?
Well, if you start calling me Ashwarya, other people are going to try and say my full name, and I will get annoyed if they mess it up.
Oh, I think I understand.
Well, that's not all. See, the thing is, there's two kinds of people who annoy me. One are the people who think since I live in Idaho, I have to be like the so-called average Idahoan and eat steak and fries and go to the rodeo or whatever. And sometimes I'm tempted to make them say Oshawaria just to give them a hard time.
Oh. What's the other kind of a person that annoys you?
The people who think, since my family is from Southeast Asia, I should fit into their idea of what a Southeast Asian is, and wear sari, and talk about Krishna, and listen to Bollywood show tunes. It doesn't occur to them that I design my own clothes, and I'm an atheist, and I don't like Bollywood movies.
I love Bollywood.
I know, and that's cool. But to me, it's just like the composers have to use every instrument and every beat programmed into their synthesizers in every 3-minute song, and I think that's just kind of silly. I mean, I love my parents and their culture, and I'm totally proud of my Bengali heritage, but I grew up in this country, and I like 80s punk rock and the ska band from the Basque region called Skalariak, and I don't mind wearing a sari when my family celebrates Kali Puja, but I just don't feel like myself in one, and I don't think I should have to apologize for any of that. It's not like my skin color should predetermine everything about me, right?
Right.
Thank you. Hey, what the hell are those stupid mall punks doing over there?
It looks like they're toilet papering houses.
Oh, that's really radical. That'll shake up the status quo.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Oh, that's Squiggy and his little poser posse from school. Hey, Squiggy, what are you guys doing?
It's the latest campaign strategy. Don't even try and steal it.
Mr. Digby wouldn't toilet paper houses for votes.
Because he's lame. And this isn't just any old toilet paper. It's red, white, and blue toilet paper that says Vote Kennewick on every square.
That's wasteful.
It's recycled toilet paper, loser.
You know, almost all toilet paper is recycled. It's one of the recycled products that is so easy to make that it's cheaper. So it's worth the cost, even for an uncaring corporation.
Dude, who the hell are you?
He's Ukiah Digby. Do you realize how stupid your Punks for Kennewick shirts look when you're campaigning against a vocalist and cellist from Peabody?
Well, Peabody was a cool band, I guess. But Digby has gotten lame in his old age. Umatilla is almost as old as him, and she's still badass. And she lets us call her Umatilla.
Listen, Squiggy. It's not like I want to give you good campaign advice for a bad candidate, but don't you think TPing voters' houses is just going to piss them off?
Maybe even for a while, but our youth coordinator, Claude, says it's all about name recognition. Even if people get mad, once they get to the voting booth, they're just going to be thinking, Vote Kennewick, Vote Kennewick. Because they spent their whole day Sunday removing our toilet paper from their lawns, that's how they'll vote, just like robots.
Way to give the younger generation a sense of idealism.
Hi, Hazel. Still hanging with the mall punks, I see.
Yeah, whatever. I see you're hanging out with that sellout, Digby.
Sellout?
Dude, you and your friends were the free market capitalist who started your own record company. And now you're trying to tie up the coroner's office in red tape? You've abandoned your values, man.
I was and am an anti-corporate do-it-yourselfer. We started that company when I quit the soap opera and tried to get back in the music business. I never wanted to get screwed by another bad contract.
Yeah, right. And you sold Flagrant Octopus Records to Mega Virginia for so much money you haven't had to take a real job since?
I wanted to stay independent, but my bandmates outvoted me. Ash, that's why I don't want to be called Uke anymore. And Hazel, I still pay my bills with real jobs and donate what little money I get from the Mega Virginia deal to progressive politics and animal rights.
Sucker! You should have invested in biotech.
I think it's really great that young people are getting involved in politics, but I really think you're all a little bit confused.
Dude, you just don't get it.
I think we should all get back to campaigning now.
Yeah, we still have 3 more blocks to TP.
What are they doing?
They're chanting.
I mean, with their hands.
They're imitating Kennewick. Haven't you ever noticed how she karate chops the air when she talks?
Really? What do I do with my hands?
Way too much. To be honest, you kind of look like a spaz. I mean, it's kind of cute in person. You know, you're so excited, you express yourself with this little hand dance, but on stage it's just not very coroner-like.
Martellene said the same thing, but I didn't believe her. I guess I'll work on that. Let's knock on some doors. Hello, who's knocking?
Hi, my name is Ash, and I'd like to talk to you a moment about the candidate I'm supporting for county coroner in this November's election.
Are you with those crummy punks who are toilet papering people's homes? One of them was named Squiggy.
Absolutely not. I hate those posers. I'm not working with their campaign, because I believe Ukiah Digby is the best candidate for county coroner.
Jebediah Bugby, Uriah Deep, whatever. All's I know is between now and election day, I'm going to repeat this mantra. Vote against Kennewick, vote against Kennewick, vote against Kennewick. So thanks for stopping by. Have a nice day.
Well, may I leave a pamphlet so you can learn more about Ukiah Digby's stand on the issues?
Suit yourself. But I don't really read, so maybe you should save a tree. So long as it's not Kennewick, I don't care who declares who dead.
Okay, bye. Another informed voter won over by the good guys, I guess.
Tune in next week for the next episode of Ukiah Digby for Coroner on the Sagebrush Variety Show.
Sagebrush Variety Show players started gardening several years ago as a reaction to pesticide-laced and genetically modified foods, from a desire for self-sufficiency, but mostly from an intense dissatisfaction with ingredients that were shrunk-wrapped, refrigerated, and trucked across continents. Until recently, however, our civic activism and leisure time took priority, and our gardens often suffered. But big agribusiness has grown more and more predatory in their attempts to monopolize food production and have both upped their use of pesticides and questionable genetic technologies while simultaneously entering the organic food market, only to immediately commence chipping away at the standards as well as the values of that movement. So now, our garden is part of our activism. After all, we always said that a major part of the Sagebrush Variety Show agenda is to make inedible lawns and the pesticides, water waste, and obnoxious mowers that make them possible an object of derision and scorn. Still, while to us everything, and we really mean everything, is a political act, we will also admit that the pleasures of cultivating our own food from seed to table appeals very much to our hedonistic side, as well as being good for our health and the health of the planet. And if peak oil hits as hard and fast as our advisors are saying it will, gardening expertise will soon be a survival skill. So this is a multipartisan issue, if there ever was one. If you're not growing at least some of your own food, you're just disenfranchising yourself. The pick of the week for today's show is Garden Huckleberry. Here are our reactions.
The Garden Huckleberry has a flavor that's wild, almost gamey, derivative of the blueberry somewhat. But far less sweet and much more subtle, while definitely requiring a helping hand in terms of lacking sweetness, its enigmatic nuances warrant further experimentation.
Huckleberries, dark princes of juicy delight, they fulfill the role of star attraction to many a pastry with a convincing performance exhibited by their grape-like demeanor, and much like the resilience of their stain, they are unforgettable.
The Garden Huckleberry's rigorous lack of natural sweetness makes it a customizable berry with the sweetening agent of the gourmand's choice. Moreover, its complex base notes create one of the most unique aesthetic profiles in the edible arts. Assertively musty and astringent, it captures and recombines the most elusive and obscure elements of rhubarb, lychee, durian, and juniper.
Garden huckleberry is not related to true huckleberries. They are instead a member of the nightshade family, related to tomatoes, potatoes, peppers, eggplant, as well as jimson weed, mandrake, and deadly nightshade. Not being a traditional culinary berry such as huckleberries, they have virtually no natural sweetness, and what scant flavor they possess is often jarring to anyone eating them with berry expectations, particularly if one attempts to eat them straight out of the garden. To consume these berries, they first must be well heated, to soften them and also to break down potential toxins, although some claim they are not at all toxic. Even so, most people rate the flavor as bitter or musky at best, and bland or outright repulsive at worst. For this reason, it is also highly recommended that some sweetener, as much as 1/4 the quantity of berries in sugar or other sweeteners, be added. The advantage of the plant is that they are much quicker to bear fruit and generally easier to grow than conventional berries. They yield ripe berries in less than 3 months and will usually reseed themselves if the plants are left alone in their own patch of garden. The plants have warm as well as cold tolerance, and many even say they taste best after the first frost. After heating and sweetening, they can pass for a real berry, both in terms of flavor and nutrition. And there is also considerable disagreement over whether or not the leaves are edible as well. Many seed catalogs sell garden huckleberries as a new innovation in North American gardening, but they've been cultivated for many years, especially in the Southwest. They are native to tropical West Africa. If you like what you hear and want more information on growing this or other crops, visit our website at radioboise.org/sagebrush or email us at sagebrush@radioboise.org. Or if you're already gardening, we'd love to hear what you're growing and eating and how you and your companions describe the experience. Tune in next week for more Sagebrush Variety Show Farm Reports. And remember, say no to corporate food.
You're listening to the Sagebrush Variety Show, political commentary and satire with an irreverent twist.
Homeland Security, Level Red. The price of security is eternal surveillance. You have nothing to hide, then you won't mind if we sneak a little peek.
So after I was set up on that global warming case, the boss sent me home with all these worksheets, like the one we got our first week at Quantico, with all these crazy scenarios and then multiple choice. The scenario above was an A, tip, B, lead, C, hunch, D, conspiracy, E, hoax. And I was like, dude, you don't want to waste a guy like me on this brainiac stuff. I'm a man of action. I think on my feet. Reflexes like a cat. The tenacity of a pit bull.
You told him all of that? Really? What did he say?
Well, you know, as department head, he's got to worry about the politics of fighting crime, so he's got no choice but to chew me out. But I can tell deep down, he knows that he needs rogue agents like me who dare to think outside the box. You watch the Blue Vengeance flicks, right?
Of course, man. I mean, before I found out how cool the FBI is, I wanted to be a cop because of those movies. Matt Gibbons is the man.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm like Matt Gibbons, especially in Blue Vengeance 3, Blizzard of Justice. When everyone else is busy trying to cover their butts looking for just cause and whatnot, I'm the one who goes out on a limb and busts the guys that no one suspects would ever commit an act of terrorism. Without agents like me, there would be no preemptive law enforcement.
Man, nowadays everyone on the force thinks of themselves as Mac Gibbons.
With all due respect, I love everyone in this department like a brother, you know that. But when you guys are thinking, what would Mac Gibbons do? I'm already busting in the door saying, freeze my...
Bailey, why aren't those worksheets on my desk?
It's 8:57, Mr. Christofferson. I was just about to get cracking on them.
That was your homework.
Homework?
Bailey... The taxpayers aren't paying you to take remedial courses. You're lucky you still have a job. Frere, what are you smirking about? You're in trouble too. The way you follow this bozo around, you must be even stupider than him. And if you knew how to install a surveillance device, maybe no one would have ever known we were surveilling a bunch of earnest political nerds, half of them teenagers.
Sure they would have, as soon as the ACLU filed another one of their stupid FOIA requests.
Are you giving me lip? You should know that the Freedom of Information Act has been gutted to the point where we don't have to tell anybody anything until it's too late for anyone to do anything about it, or even too late for anyone to care about the scandal. If you illiterates actually read the memos I send out, updating you on the latest legislation, You'd know how to violate civil liberties without violating the law.
It's too much to keep up on.
It is a lot. That's because there's a lot of needless rights that need reversing, and people like Hillary Clinton and Trent Lott work their butts off to provide this country with the kind of police state we need to prevent terrorism. The least you bums could do is try to keep up with it.
That memo about the Military Commissions Act was totally jazz, G.
What the heck does that mean, Bailey? I told you to stop talking like Puffy Dad in this office. It's unprofessional. Anyway, if that was supposed to be a compliment, don't bother trying to kiss up. Just do those worksheets tonight and get them on my desk first thing tomorrow.
Oh, man.
Grow up. In the meantime, a citizen called in a tip this morning, and I want you to check it out.
Yes, sir.
This ought to help you learn the difference between a solid lead and a hoax. It's a crazy scenario, but we have to check everything out, and you never know, it might be for real. Apparently, some joker's been posting to the internet, claiming he's going to contaminate the water in the restrooms and snack stands of every College Bowl stadium in the Northwest with algae that will make the stadium and eventually the entire campus smell like rotting onions. If it's true, this is an attack on the very fabric of the American way of life. I've alerted the colleges and university, but they're going to keep it on the slot and not cancel any plans until we check it out. I'm assigning you because we have a few days. If you mess up, I can still hand it off to someone competent.
I'll find out who's behind this nefarious plan if it takes me all day and night.
I want you to start by trying to find reasons not to work on it. Understand? Don't go off half-cocked. Honestly, I don't know how you agents could be so lazy until you get some cockamamie scheme in your teeth that's sure to make the whole agency look foolish, and then suddenly you're pit bulls. Use your head, your brains, this time. I have a meeting with the Chief of Homeland Security this morning. I want a full report by the time I get back at noon.
Okay, see you at noon, sir. See? He knows I'm like a pit bull.
He didn't mean that as a compliment, Bailey.
Yeah, he did.
Come in, Bailey. I take it you're here with your report. You're even a few minutes early.
Well, I'm kind of hungry. I was hoping to cut out for lunch and come back and work on a new case I'd like to follow up on.
All right, fine. First, tell me about the football threat. Then, let's hear what this new case is and you can have your lunch.
Here's a list of the websites I visited, and the list of biolab kit manufacturers I had fax me their receipts. One company destroys their receipts monthly in protest of the Patriot Act, but I got a hold of a sympathetic worker in the shipping department. Plus, I managed to ID some of the people posting comments to the websites that carried the stories. A list of the people who called for phone interrogations. Plus, I was able to trace some IP addresses of people who posted comments on the sites where the alleged threat was posted. I'm certain there is no way this alleged threat can be pulled off. No one has the resources right now. I'm also almost positive this was all part of some contest to see who could post the scariest terrorist threat to the internet.
Nice report. Your spelling is atrocious, but other than that, this is great. Nearly perfect. See what you can do when you get serious? We'll put out a press release talking about how we pursued the lead out of caution, better safe than sorry, checked and double-checked it out, and cleared it as a hoax. That ought to do something towards fixing our name after that mess you got us in last week, busting 5 Green Party members for supposedly masterminding global warming. Are you starting to understand now what a hoax is, Bailey?
Jeez, I said I was sorry.
You're sorry, all right. I don't care about your apologies, and neither do the public. We just gotta stick to stories about criminals caught, false alarms cautiously checked out, get our quota of unthinkable acts preempted, but make sure we can cover up any innocence we happen to drag in. It's like being on one of those massive fishing trawlers. The nets are filled with dolphins and juvenile fish and other bycatch that the public doesn't want to know are being rushed to extinction. They just want their swordfish a la king on the table. They don't really care how many dead bodies we dump into the ocean and call it catch and release, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So, what's this other case you want to work on?
Well, I was looking up football stuff in Idaho, and I kept on coming across the name of a football player.
So, there's a lot of sports fans on the internet.
Let's just say I had a hunch.
Oh, no. Not one of your hunches.
This was a good one.
Oh, really?
Well, I thought he had a weird name, but it was kind of catchy. Robbie Big. So at first I thought it was just a gimmick. Maybe he was already thinking about sponsorships and endorsements and licensing or whatever. Good capitalist stuff.
Get to the point, Bailey.
Then I see a picture of him. He's not the usual type. He's not a meaty white guy or a big black guy. He's like something.
Okay. Racial profiling is a valid Homeland Security tool these days. But I'm not sure I trust you with it. What is he?
I didn't know at first. So I figured he changed his name because he's got something to hide. I do a little digging and it turns out he was born with an Arabic name. What is he trying to hide, huh? Huh?
Now that is promising. Okay, you can look into it, but you're still on probation around here. This one sounds a little tricky, kind of subtle compared to the stadium onion algae case. Don't screw it up.
Oh, this is golden. This is good. I'm good. Oh, it's 4:58. I am so in the zone, I almost worked past 5. Close one. I'm really in the mood to gloat over a cold one. Who can I call besides Jacques? Oh, I know.
This is McGill.
What up, McGill?
Hi, Bailey. How are you?
Oh, come on. Don't be such a dead fish.
I'm working on something.
You're such a tool. It's 5:01. That's why I called your cell phone. I expect to hear the sound of you putting on your coat, walking out the building, and getting into your car.
What are you talking about, Bailey?
I'm inviting you out for drinks.
Why?
Listen, I gotta admit, I would have gotten myself in even more trouble over that bad hunch I had on the global warming thing if it hadn't been for you. I owe ya. I'll buy you a beer, and we can play some foosball. Jacques is coming, too. It'll be fun.
Well, okay. Thanks. I guess I could take you up on that.
Right on. Hey, I hear you moving. That's good.
Yep. So, where are we meeting?
Quincy's on Rosecombe and Waddles. You know it?
Oh, yeah. I go there all the time.
Dude, can I just say the cell phone is an awesome invention? I feel like James Bond talking about business on the fly over my super special spy phone.
I gotta admit, I know what you mean.
Whoa, that was a close one. That sucker almost T-boned me at that intersection. Some people just don't know how to talk on the cell phone and drive at the same time.
Yeah, there ought to be a law.
With exceptions for people who need it, like agents.
Exactly.
Dude, I'm walking in the door of Quincy's right now. What kind of brew do you want?
I'll have a seltzer.
Oh, no. Please tell me I heard wrong. What is with you?
I just don't like the taste of beer.
You are a freak, man. Oh, well. Suit yourself.
I'm in the parking lot. I'll be right there.
Hey, McGill. Long time no see.
Hey, Jacques. Bailey.
Glad you could make it. Here's your seltzer. Shall we proceed to the foosball table and have a friendly game while I tell you about my latest case?
Sounds good.
So I'm investigating this guy, Raif Jassim, and it turns out he's posted to a lot of the same websites where the threat was posted, and he knows the guy who's running the incriminating website.
Yeah, but didn't you tell me earlier they were just message boards?
Terrorist-oriented message boards.
It sounded like they were crime fiction-oriented message boards.
So you guys in PC...
What's PC?
It stands for public corruption. Dude, didn't you get the acronym memo yesterday? The boss told us to read his memos from now on.
I really hate reading. He should upload his messages as an MP3 to the Counterterrorism Employee podcast. Then I could listen to it on my FBI pod.
You tell him. He won't listen to me. Although, after I crack this case wide open, I'll be getting the respect I deserve. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, suck it to me, suck it to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, suck it to me, suck it to me.
Hold on a second. You guys have your own podcast and proprietary pod device? Where do you get the money for this stuff? Public corruption is the second highest funded department in the Bureau, and we can't do all the stuff you guys do.
Second highest? That's a good one, man. There's a good reason why it's so hard to get a hold of a reliable Bureau budget.
You guys are a distant second.
Don't brag, Jacques. It's not polite. Besides, we need that money. Preventing terrorism before it happens is a tricky and pricey task. How much money do you need to catch a couple of senators taking a bribe or whatever?
There's no way you need a department podcast to catch terrorists.
Anyway, like I was saying, they may have looked like crime fiction websites, but to the trained counterterrorism eye, these were obviously fronts for terrorist exchange networks.
How could you tell?
Because half of them were run by a guy in the Pan-Arab Writers Guild.
Now that's just racial profiling.
Duh!
In my view, we really need to get beyond racial profiling. There are more reliable predictors. You know, I was thinking, PC stands for public corruption, but also for politically correct. And politically correct is what the guys in that department are like, with all their racially profiling is prejudiced and blah, 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 whine, whine, whine.
Hey, don't razz my man McGill. Even if he does deserve it, we tight now.
Thanks, Bailey. That really means a lot to me. Mock me all you want, but the last time I talked to you about false leads, I was right.
That was totally different. It can't be a setup this time because I unearthed this guy myself when I was researching the football stadium onion algae hoax. Are you trying to tell me that Mr. Jossum just happened to pick the phony name of Mr. Big and that he just happened to become a football player?
Wait a second. I thought the sports preference profile for terrorists was soccer. Guys, 95% of the world plays soccer. Yeah, right.
Actually, that's true, Jock. But that's because it takes a keen American mind to understand the complicated rules and strategy of football. That's why they're all so jealous that they try to call soccer football.
Oh, please. They called it football before we called what we do football.
Now that's just propaganda.
Just one more way they try and undermine the American way of life because they hate our freedoms. Which is exactly why I don't understand how you figured out that a guy playing the all-American sport could be a terrorist.
I understand your confusion, Jock. That's what the terrorists count on. But see, I looked at the big picture, and what I pieced together is this guy is a sleeper.
You mean he spent all those years perfecting his football skills just so he could blend in, so once he reached an adequate level of respect within the sports community, he would get the order to create mayhem from within?
Bingo.
Listen, Bailey, I like you. I don't know why, but I do. So I'm going to tell you one more time. Don't bring this stuff to your boss, because you're already on thin ice.
Thanks for your concern, but I already told Mr. Christofferson, and we're bringing that message board moderating devil down, and we're detaining Mr. Big, thanks to the Patriot Act.
You know, I think the Patriot Act goes too far. I mean, our job is supposed to be difficult. That's why I like it. But even the Patriot Act doesn't change material witness law. That's a myth, Bailey. Ever since September 11th, we've been detaining people just because we think they know something about some terrorist act that might happen. We can't do that. All we can do is arrest a witness if we can demonstrate to the federal district court that the person is critical to an investigation, and we can show there's a very good chance they'll try to flee. We can't, and never could, just nab someone we don't like, just in case they try to go somewhere and deny them a lawyer or a hearing.
Yes, we can, and we do. Christofferson said so in a memo.
I don't feel so great. I'm headed home. I got a lot of files to go through in the morning. Just do me a favor and think about what I said.
I'll do that. Cheers.
What's with him?
Ah, he's just jealous. It's understandable. Interdepartmental competition. I'll get him a beer or a seltzer at Hooters when we nail this case and I get my Agent of the Month gift certificate. Anyway, he wasn't a very challenging foosball opponent. Why don't you hop in there?
I don't know. I was thinking foosball is too much like soccer.
Whoa, you're right. Now I'm all creeped out. Let's go play the sex trivia video game.
Hi, Allison.
McGill? Hi.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Nice to meet you.
Shall I get you a cup of coffee? I recommend the Fair Trade Certified Organic Ethiopian Yirgacheffe.
I'm trying to cut down, even Fair Trade Organic. The human and environmental costs are just too high, but Okay.
Hold on. I already paid for it. I'll just have them pour it. Don't go anywhere. Hey, can I get that Yurgachev? Thanks, Julie. Here you go, Allison.
Thanks. I'll admit, it's good. The staff knows you pretty well.
I like coffee shops. I don't do bars. The environmental and human cost of alcohol is too high.
True. That's why I brew and distill my own from whatever ingredients I can get locally.
Wow, I'd like to learn to do that.
This isn't a date, Nick.
What?
You're trying to impress me.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to share my love of fine coffee.
Whatever you say.
Excuse me?
Yes, hello?
I was just sitting over there, and I had to come over.
Oh?
It's just that you're such a beautiful couple. I can see you've been married for a few years now, and you both have your careers, but you must remember that your relationship should always come first. You never know when true love will hit, and sometimes it only hits once, and then fate can sometimes take one of you away when you're still—
What are you talking about?
You're having your first serious argument, I can tell. But you mustn't say or do anything you regret. I know, I'm an old widow. I feel I must share the benefit of my wisdom with young couples.
Miz, you have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I do. I can just see the love in your young man's eyes. You do love her, don't you?
Yes. No. Ma'am, we've never met in person. We talked over the phone a couple of months ago about a business matter. And we were supposed to meet for dinner, but it was canceled. I've never actually seen her before, except for pictures.
Pictures? Oh, what? Surveillance photos? I should have known.
No, I just Googled you, and there was a picture of you protesting at the bioengineering conference.
A likely story. Why are you Googling me anyway?
What's Googling? Is that one of those naughty things you young people do to each other over that internet?
Would you excuse us?
I guess I'll just go. Pardon me.
Yes, good day.
Don't you Google someone new when you meet them?
You didn't meet me. I called your stupid public corruption hotline.
Yeah, and it was a nice conversation. I mean, aside from the tip, which was good. But you sounded very intelligent and interesting, and I was curious.
Thanks. What? Wait, don't try and manipulate me.
Don't you Google new people?
Yeah, but I'm not a Fed.
Well, what else are Feds not allowed to do that normal people can?
Forget it. McGill, you promised you'd help me watch your fellow agents if I gave you good public corruption tips, right?
Right.
Was I right about Representative Weldon's daughter receiving payoffs in exchange for favorable votes and leveraging his political influence?
There were a lot of lucrative contracts emerging out of obscure diplomatic channels, and his daughter has been benefiting a lot considering her age and experience. I think we have a case, but people are saying the investigation is politically motivated because it's so close to the elections.
You know I'm Green Party, so how would you figure I care about this stupid two-way race? They couldn't even field any candidates because ballot laws have been made so difficult in that state.
I don't know. Maybe you want both sides to look corrupt so you can press your alternative party agenda.
I don't need to make them look anything. They're rotten on their own. And my agenda is no secret. It's what should be guaranteed by constitutional election law in the first place. You should know this too, since you claim to be a registered Green. Did you ever read the pamphlets?
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Give me a break. Do you want tips or not?
No. Yes, I need the tips. I'm just saying, if you're going to distrust me, I could just as easily distrust you.
It's different.
Is it?
Yes. The only thing I get out of this is satisfaction that justice might be happening someday. In exchange, my friends and colleagues think that I'm working with, or even for, the man. If they're right, everything I've been working for is totally derailed. What do you have to lose?
Nothing. So you're right. What's your point?
Your buddies are up to no good again, trampling on people's rights.
Okay, I didn't know. You're the one always lecturing about the inherent problems with the concept of preemptive law enforcement, so how am I supposed to stop something that's happening in another department? It is another department, right?
It's not your department, of course. It's counterterrorism.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Does the name Raif Jassim sound familiar to you?
Yes. No. I don't know.
Yes or no?
It sounds familiar. Maybe I heard about an arrest, or maybe it's just a common name. Why?
He was on the football team at the University of Idaho. Your people dragged him into an investigation because he was friends with the guy who ran the Pan-Arabic Writers Guild website, where that stinky algae stadium hoax was posted. What is it with you guys and hoaxes? Anyway, he met with that Agent Bailey guy who falsely arrested us. I know you know him.
Just barely. He called me in on your case. I see him around, but it's not like we're tight or anything.
I never said anything about tight. Why did you start talking like that? Anyway, Raif, or Robbie Big, as he was known on campus, politely answered all of Bailey's stupid racist questions, and he thought that was that. But apparently they still weren't satisfied because they snatched him from the airport, strip-searched him, and kept him in shackles for almost 3 weeks. He's out now, but they took his passport and told him he has to stay within a 4-state area. What the hell?
I really wish the Bureau would go back to clearing these material witness detainments with a judge. The way we're doing it now, everyone assumes they've got no reason.
They've got no reason. McGill, I know this guy. In some ways, he's more conservative than Bailey. He loves football. He was trying to help find the guy who actually posted the algae threats because he was upset about it and wanted to prove that most Pan-Arabic writers love the American way. I wouldn't be calling you if I thought they had a reason to detain him. Although I'll remind you that in any case, it was an illegal detainment.
I know. You don't need to remind me. But I need to ask you a stupid question.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
What does the name change mean? Doesn't Mr. Big kind of encourage suspicion?
Oh, for Pete's sake. You watch too many James Bond movies. He changed his name from Raif Jossam to Robbie Big because it's basically a translation. Jossam means big in Arabic. He was sick of people mangling his given name, so he decided to go with an Americanized version. I swear, some people can't win. If he didn't change his name, people would have said he was disrespecting American culture. But he changed it, and now the same people say he has ulterior motives.
You're generalizing. I'm not judging anyone.
Besides, it was a good career move. Personally, I think sports are a colossal waste of time. Pretty much an unconscionable way to spend your life when there's so much good you can do. But it was a way for him to get a head start on life. Something you should understand.
Why are you accusing me?
I am so sick of this phony, all you need is ambition to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and achieve the American dream crap. It is such a lie.
I'm not like that. Although I will say that I grew up in poverty, and before I joined the Bureau to fight public corruption, I was living the American dream. Big law firm, 6-figure salary, big condo in a major city, and I wasn't even 30 years old. But because of my background, I gave that up to fight public corruption. I consider myself lucky that I had some adversity to fight against.
I'm real inspired, Mr. White Man.
Fine. I can see you're upset. I gotta get back to the office. I'll do what I can from within the agency, I promise. But 10-1, the courts will vindicate your friend.
I hope so. But his life has already been substantially messed up by this, and he's just one of the stories I know about. Homeland Security keeps on swearing that this stuff never happens, but if 2 cases have already personally affected me, I'm wondering how many more are going on right now. I'm sorry, but I can't help feel like you're part of it, whether you mean to be or not.
Allison, stop generalizing. If people like me are always treated like dirt by our fellow progressives, you'll push us all to quit the agency or turn our backs on you, and things will just get worse.
In a way, that's almost idealistic, but you're wrong.
I'm not. Keep in touch. Please.
Well, I guess we're both in trouble this time. That makes you happy?
Yeah. I mean, no. I don't know. We're a team.
Unfortunately. And I can't blame you this time, so you're getting off easy. We've got to be more careful from now on. We can't get caught violating people's rights so much. We got to take it slow and gradual, so people can get used to sacrificing a little liberty for a lot of safety.
Are we on America's bad side now?
Not quite. But we got pushed back a notch legally. A U.S. District Court in Idaho ruled that the federal material witness law cannot be used to preventively detain or investigate suspects.
That's what McGill said.
What? McGill? Why are you letting that public corruption geek in on counterterrorism affairs?
You told me I should be grateful to him.
Sure, buy him a beer, but don't spill the beans. For all we know, that guy's preemptively public corruption investigating us. Anyway, he's wrong about material witness. Who is McGill to argue with the chief of Homeland Security, huh? The chief really tried to get us all immunity from personal and departmental responsibility for the wrongful detention of an innocent American, but that Idaho judge had his own opinion.
I won't talk to McGill about investigations anymore, I promise. But he did say something to me that's making me feel kind of bad.
Oh no, don't let him get you all twisted up. What did he say?
He said the investigation and detainment not only caused Raif Jassim to lose a scholarship to study in Saudi Arabia, but that it cost him employment opportunities and it damn near ruined his marriage. He has a baby. I mean, in a way, he's like an all-American family values Ronald Reagan pigskin hero kind of a guy.
Bull dinkies. Don't go soft on me. He's guilty of something. We all are.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Of course I am. And don't let some activist Idaho judge tell you different.
Damned liberal Idaho.
I know. If only more, or any, states could be as patriotic as South Dakota.
This was a dramatization, a comic dramatization. But in the world of audio theater, it is said that truth is stranger than fiction. Imagine if you will. No, don't imagine. See our links posted at sagebrushvariety.blogspot.com. The result of an internet writing contest posted to at least 40 websites tips off an observant FBI agent to threats of a dirty bomb to be unleashed at football games. The false alert hoax resulted in at least one arrest. In a much more serious but no less ridiculous case, Abdullah Al-Kid, a football player at the University of Idaho, was arrested in Washington's Dulles Airport as a material witness because of his friendship with Sami Omar Al-Hussein, a moderator of websites that may have been visited by people who might be terrorists, and who eventually was acquitted. For 16 days, Al-Kid was held in heightened security units of various jails and shackled whenever moved. Eventually, Al-Kid was released under onerous conditions that included confining his travel to four states, surrendering his passport, and reporting to probation officers. He was held for more than 13 months under these conditions without ever being asked to testify or being charged with any crime. At the time of his arrest, Al-Kid had already shown that he was not a flight risk and would cooperate as a witness. He had voluntarily met with the FBI repeatedly, never missing a scheduled appointment. For 6 months prior to his arrest, Al-Kid had not been contacted by the FBI, and he had never been told that he was prohibited from traveling abroad to pursue his studies. Eventually, a U.S. District Court in Idaho ruled that federal material witness law cannot be used to preventively detain or investigate suspects. And in a possibly ridiculous but still mysterious case, a strange orange-colored, oniony-smelling substance has been discovered flowing into the Boise River from a drainage pipe from the Boise State University campus. Seems too silly to be true? Believe it.
Homeland Security, Level Red, was written by Robert McMinn and was performed and produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with the help of a grant from the Green Institute and support from Radio Boise. Learn more about the topics in this show at sagebrushvariety.org. This week's Sagebrush Variety Show was conceived, written, performed, and produced by Robert McMinn, Kevin Bayhouse, April Hoy, and Gwen Sankirico, and was funded in part by a grant from the Green Institute. For more information on the content discussed on this program, visit our website at sagebrushvariety.org. Write to us at sagebrush@radioboise.org. Thanks for listening to the Sagebrush Variety Show.